up and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's the Morning Show. Good Monday morning to you. April 29th, 7:02 a.m. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard, as we kick off the last week in April. Bob, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm good. Weather feels good out, a little bright out when I was driving in. I can get with this early morning stuff when it's like this. Almost forgot about when it was dark. Gross out when we'd be driving in. But yeah, I'm doing good. Had a good weekend. How about you?
Well, I just told you it's the last week of April. So don't start forgetting where we came from, because I feel like fall and winter is not that far away, Bob. So don't start taunting the morning.
Enjoy it now, man.
That's enjoy what I it. Because it'll be cold and dark until 7 a.m. before we know it. But at least then I guess we'll be watching some football. But yeah, it feels nice. Spring, full effect, summer right around the corner. Sam, top of the morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Eyes are a little itchy this morning.
Still persisting with the allergies.
I took a shower this morning, too, to try to be fresh, try to, like, you know, wipe everything out of your eyes that you accumulate overnight. Mm-hmm. And then I go outside, and it's they've been itching ever since. So
we might need to get you a deal with, like, Zyrtec or something like that.
Yeah.
Little allergy deal you can get on one of those commercials.
Yeah.
Hopefully replace the Shai Gilgeous and Chet Holmgren commercial.
Wow, that is bad, man.
It's driving me crazy.
That one hasn't bothered me as much as everyone else. Maybe I just love me some Christina Aguilera. I don't know. But that one hasn't bothered me. There's a new one that has really, really got me this weekend. It's the Take a Pick.
Ah.
Like the pick song. There's a little jingle that goes with it, and I heard it probably 10 times in about a 3-hour period on Saturday, and it's now burned into my brain, and I hate it. That's the one that bothers me.
What product is that? I'm trying to I bet I know it the minute you tell me.
But I don't know, Bob. So it's not successful advertising. It's made me hate it so much that I refuse to know what it's promoting. Something to take a picture. Maybe a new phone.
I've noticed that, too. I've been just getting so mad from some of these commercials that I don't even know what they're advertising. I just look down immediately and
there's
try
some,
and tune it out.
It's some, I don't even know, it's a wing thing, that No Flake Zone jingle.
Yeah, that.
Oh. I love that song, but yes, that one's on the list, too, the No Flex
the
Zone.
Wingstop commercial,
that one has gotten me. I'm pretty sure Google Pixel 8 is the one that is driving me crazy. So, yes, those two have stood out to me much, much more than the What a Pro Wants. Although that one, you know, is in the top five in terms of annoying commercials going right now, which is just bad for – I feel like it's a bad move for Shai Gilgeous and Chet Holmgren. I feel like it'll just make people rebel against them.
Now, we talked last week about the – I think it's like – I don't know if it's Hotels.com or whatever, the one that had Jokic in it. But then I saw another one this weekend that had Jimmy Butler and Jaime Jaquez in the steam room. Did you see that one?
Yeah, there's a – I guess a movement from Hotels.com to like, hey, let's get a star and then like an obscure teammate they have.
Yeah. That one was actually, I thought, pretty good. Them holding their suits in the steam room.
I feel like they've done good with theirs. The Jokic pony ones, and those have been solid from both players. But I think maybe that's the key, is you have to have a rotation. If we saw Jimmy Butler and Jaime Jaquez every time, maybe we'd be upset. if we saw Nikola Jokic and Peyton Watson every time, we'd be upset. Not to be confused with Anthony Edwards.
I saw the spot again. I'm telling you, they look more alike than you're giving them credit.
I don't think so, Bob. I don't think so. Tread lightly. Anthony Edwards, star performance last night, superstar performance last night, and in the first round of the playoffs. So maybe you'll start seeing him on some more commercials because he slammed the door shut on the Phoenix Suns. There was a star-making weekend in the NBA in terms of guys performing when the lights were the brightest. Some real legacy-defining moments, early legacy-defining moments for some players. I thought it was a really good week of basketball. I actually watched some hockey yesterday, Sam.
Nice, nice.
Grand opening, grand closing, my first full game, my last full game.
Yeah, that's a tough one to start on.
I was like, okay, you know, I watched the third period on, was it Friday or Thursday?
Friday.
Whatever game three was.
Yeah, Friday.
Okay. I watched game three's third period. Preds down 3-1. I watched it. Watched them, you know, try to kind of claw their way back in. And I was like, wow, man, that's a lot of shots on goal. Why can't they score? This is bad. You think they'd try to score on those 30-something shots. Only one goal. That seems dumb. The Canucks, I mean, they got three goals on like 15 shots. Why don't they just try that offense? And then for a little bit, the Preds did try that yesterday in game four. And then one of the all-time playoff collapses, I think you'll see.
Yeah.
No, three goals in 3 minutes.
Just painful.
That's tough. Now, where do you rank your Preds fandom on a scale of 1 to 100?
Nowadays, it's probably like a 70-something.
55 after last night.
It used to be like, if this was, you know, 10 or 11-year-old me, this would have crushed me.
Okay.
I've gotten a lot more off of hockey and more into, you know, football and basketball over the years, but yeah, this would have, if I was going into middle school on a Monday morning after this one, this would have hurt me.
Okay. Well, I felt bad for, I got some people in my life that probably fancy themselves more in the 80s and 90s range.
Yeah.
And they were pretty distraught.
Yeah. I've got some buddies like that too, and they were not happy.
It wasn't a good sign. We're like, well, actually, this isn't as bad. 2010 against Chicago was way worse. When you start power ranking your heartbreaking losses, you've gone into a bad place.
Trying to justify it a little bit. There's no need to. It's bad.
Year one of a rebuild.
Yeah.
I saw that one a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. New roster. We weren't supposed to be here. That's the classic.
I would say when you're not supposed to be there, that's when it's the most fun. Like, that's whenever the runs are the most magical and when the pain actually kind of hurts the most.
Yeah.
Because in your mind, you're like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, house money. Everyone always talks about house money. But house money, when you're not supposed to be there, you start thinking about the magical run and, like, what if? What if you win this championship? That's when you're at your best as a fan, is when you don't have the quote-unquote pressure of supposed to be there. And I think that's what makes the run and the loss maybe hurt worse.
And then you have like a whole half of the fan base after you lose that's like, man, I told you we shouldn't have even gone for the playoffs. We should have just been a seller at the deadline and should have just gone on to next year.
I did see a little bit of that, but mostly just the, hey, it's okay, house money. It's okay. To which I mean, it feels honestly like the Preds could easily be up 3-1 in this series.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%.
Not a hockey guy, but I do want my friends to be happy. I don't know if I want a Stanley Cup championship to be Tennessee's first championship. You know, because like we've never won one as a professional sports state. So, like, I don't know if I want the Preds to get the first one. In 2017, I think I would have been okay with it, but now I don't think I would be. So there's a part of me at least that, I don't want to say happy, but it's like, okay, well, seems like we ain't got to worry about that this year, you know? Titans, you're back on the clock. Grizzlies, you're on the clock. Probably whatever baseball team comes in 3 years, you'll be the one that actually does it. Tampa Bay Rays, congrats. You're the first Tennessee team to ever win a championship. Do you watch any hockey, Bob?
No, I was wanting to watch some of that Preds game. I mean, I started getting some texts that flagged me to watch the end, but I was watching that NBA game, Pacers and Bucks. So I didn't see. That was the one hockey game I wanted to see some of, but the schedule kind of conflicted.
Congrats on your Pacers taking advantage. And you know, maybe Milwaukee dealt with a little bad karma. I don't know if I believe in karma when it comes to real life, but I do kind of believe it in sports. And it does seem like the Bucks and Doc Rivers and Giannis and Dame, they're all kind of paying for what they did to Adrian Griffin. Firing him whenever he was like, you know, 30 games over 500 early in the year, or, you know, 25 games, whatever it was. Firing him, it does seem like they are paying karmically because they're dropping like flies. You know, Dame and Giannis out and Middleton back to the locker room with a knee. Bobby Portis thrown out.
I love that Portis bit. He's been talking so much, too, that I enjoyed. Yeah, it's like somebody had a Bucks voodoo doll or something, man. It's not good for those guys.
I don't think it was someone. I think it was the people of Adrian Griffin's family. As they have prayed for the Bucks' downfall, it does look like karmically they are getting what they asked for, and it's like the Bucks are getting what they deserved. We'll talk some NBA playoffs later on in the show because I do think it was a great weekend of basketball. I'm sure we'll do a Tennessee transfer portal update at some point. Still no news, but we'll start with baseball as the Vols get the brooms out and all of a sudden find themselves only one game out of first place for the SEC championship. It's the morning show here on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us.
Hey guys, it's Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast and Fan Run Varsity Spotlight. Yes, it's the Cookie Man.
Tennessee baseball broke out the brooms 2 weekends in a row. At home, but Tennessee has been able to finish the sweep. You got a top five series win sandwiched in between. Tennessee taking care of business in the SEC. Missouri, was pretty up to the challenge, I would say. You know, you thought after game one getting kind of knocked around a little bit as they got into their bullpen and started burning pitching arms. You're like, oh, man, it's going to be a long weekend for Missouri when it comes to pitching. Expect Tennessee to score a bunch of runs. And then that didn't really bore out. Tennessee's offense wasn't very crisp this weekend. But Tennessee's pitching, Bob, led by our boy Kirby Connell, able to close the door on Missouri.
Yeah, went from a offensive explosion Thursday night to becoming a pitching team in games 2 and 3. Each time I joined the games, I was like looking at the scores going, man, what's going on here? But then looking at the lines, you know, I mean, Drew Beam, very solid Friday night. Kirby got the hold. Combs one out save. And then Saturday, man, the bullpen thrived. Kirby's getting a ton of run. And he had that – he got the third out on a swinging – was it a swinging strike, Sam? Did you watch the end of it?
I didn't see that one there.
I think it was. Maybe it was a called strike. Either way, man, it was just great seeing Kirby just go nuts afterwards, you know, turned around, faced the outfield, you know.
I saw the highlight.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was and it gives me a lot of optimism because, to your point, John, Missouri showed up even after getting blasted in the first game. They hung in there and – you just got to keep winning and advancing, and these are the types of games that you would worry maybe other teams would stumble, but these guys, our guys, they took care of it, just found a way to win.
Is that – would that be, what, 9 of 11, I believe, in SEC play? If you go back to the Auburn series, you won the last two there, swept LSU, swept Missouri, took 2 out of 3 against Kentucky. It was a sweep that you really needed. It was a sweep that was expected. right? You know, if you looked at the Missouri game and you played the game of, how many do we need to take here? Everyone would have came back and said, you need three. You need three. And now Tennessee finds themselves at, what, 15-6 in conference? And yep, just one game behind Kentucky in the SEC East, but also just one game behind Arkansas and tied with Texas A&M when you're looking at just the overall conference championship. Got to be honest, that didn't feel likely a couple weeks ago. Felt like Arkansas, I don't want to say was going to run away with it, but that Arkansas was in pretty good position, that you really had some work when it came to Kentucky. You knew their schedule was going to be tough. But just between those two schools and A&M, you thought, they're going to, you're not really going to have a chance unless you just win out. Now all of a sudden you look, you're just one game back. That's pretty exciting. When the new polls come out, I expect Tennessee to be right there in the top three. Should they go up any bits?
No, probably not.
Like A&M lost this weekend once, Arkansas lost this weekend, but against, you know, quality opponents.
Yeah. Florida and Georgia probably isn't going to drop you.
No. How about that Texas A&M game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia goes up 9-0 in the first inning and then gets run ruled ultimately.
Wind was blowing out like 35 miles an hour at that park. It was just anything was going out.
Let's correct me if I'm wrong, but that was a doubleheader, right? So I gave them a little credit for turnaround, and I think they bounced back and won the second game, right? Is that how that worked? Was it a doubleheader?
Yeah, A&M won that series 2-1.
But Georgia bounced back after getting run ruled, after being up 9-0. They bounced back and won the
I believe so.
The final game.
I think it was a doubleheader. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a really low scoring game after that blowout.
Yeah, after getting run ruled, after getting up 9-0, I think I would have had a hard time getting up for game three. But but they did. I'll give them at least credit for salvaging one. Because, you come out, you score 9 runs to start a game. You're like, oh, man, here we go. Offense is rolling. And then I think it was either 8 or 9 runs in the bottom half of the inning that A&M responded with. Yeah. And then took over shortly after that. South Carolina-Kentucky was pretty fun. At least in game one, you had South Carolina, I think it, a couple home runs in the ninth to tie that game, and eventually went on and won it in extras. Some good baseball in the SEC. So Tennessee didn't have a quality opponent. They played one of the worst teams in the conference, but they took care of business, and that's really what matters. Anything individually from any of Tennessee games stand out to you, Sam, in particular? Anything we need to take note of?
I think it was just nice to see, maybe in a weekend where you didn't exactly have your best stuff from kind of your main guys there with, I don't think you had the best weekend from Blake Burke and Billy Amick. And, I just think up and down that lineup, you didn't necessarily have the greatest weekend with the bats. And I think, it's always been everyone's biggest knock on Tennessee is, they can only really score runs hitting the home run ball. And I think that's it's obviously been their main way of getting runs this year so far. And you've been doing a lot of that. And so this has kind of been that first series, I thought, where the home run ball wasn't exactly flying. The park was playing a little bit longer than it normally does this weekend. And I thought you did a great job of kind of weathering that storm and grinding out some tough games against an opponent that you were probably expecting to kind of push around a little bit here. And so I think it's nice to, you're going to get everyone's best shot from anybody in the SEC when you're up there at the top. So I think to be able to have that response when you didn't exactly have your best stuff was huge moving forward.
Yeah, on Saturday you scored 3 small ball runs in the first inning, and then that was it.
Yeah, nothing after that.
That was it. And I can't even say there were no, pressure moments, because there's a couple innings where it looked like, okay, you need a couple insurance runs here. And Tennessee couldn't manufacture them. And, yeah, that's a little alarming, but I'll need to see it a couple more series before I start actually, worrying about it, right? For now, I'm just looking at this as a one-off. Hey, you're going up against an overmatched team. It's a trap series, if you will. You always hear about trap games. You don't really hear about trap series in baseball, but, you took care of business on Thursday against Missouri. You knew that you were better than them. You played like you were maybe lacking a little focus, which I think those are the best type of wins whenever the wins feel like losses. So, you come out with a sweep. You come out, keeping the win streak going, rising in the standings. But Tony V can really lay into the boys, get them refocused, have them hungry when they come out, you know, this week as we're getting like down the stretch in terms of chasing a conference championship.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was getting excited. It was late in that Saturday game, had the bases loaded, and we had Simo up, followed by Burke, and got nothing. That was, you know, it was a little disappointing because I thought, okay, we'll get some, you know, distance here, some space, but didn't happen. But to your point, it's something for them to build on. And again, winning, like I said earlier, winning in different ways, it's important.
865-288-3131. If you want to weigh in, let's get our week started. Polish Joe, top of the morning to you.
Hello, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Solid. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I've just got off 4-night shift, and I'm at the airport at Tyson McGee, and I'm going to see my 82-year-old father for 4 days.
Good for you.
I can't wait, man. I mean, this guy coached me since I was in third grade until high school. But did you guys hear? So where I work, I can't have the phones on me at all. So on my way in my Uber driver, on the way to the airport, I put my headphones on and I'm listening to Inside the NBA, trying to figure out what happened. And Charles Barkley made a rant last night on Inside the NBA that will go down in history. It started with Galveston in Texas. Have you guys heard it?
I know he's been going after Galveston, Texas, in relation to how some of these teams don't deserve to go to Cancun. Because that's been the joke running for 25 years, is that these teams, when they're ready to pack it in, 1, 2, 3, Cancun, they're going fishing, they're going all those places. But he said some of these teams are so sorry they don't deserve to go to Cancun, they're going to Galveston. Which then led to Beyonce's mother, who is from Galveston, coming out and trying to defend the city, to which Charles Barkley, of course, doubled and tripled down.
So it started with Galveston, and then Shaq is laughing uncontrollably, and then Shaq, you know, gets him going. And then next, you know, Charles goes from Galveston to San Antonio. And you remember
Chuck,
all that.
Chuck, what'd you say? Are they going to Galveston, Chuck? Chuck, is that what you said? Galveston?
he went from Galveston, and Charles, Shaq just led him on. And next thing you know, Charles started with Galveston water, and then Shaq got him going, and Kenny and Ernie had their hands in their face, okay? And next thing goes to San Antonio, and then Shaq is dying laughing. He can't even sit in his seat. And Charles starts talking about bloomers and Victoria's Secret. And Victoria is always a secret in San Antonio. In churros. It was unbelievable, man. It was unbelievable. If you look it up right now, I haven't been able to look it up.
Polis Joe, I can't get people to look it up right now. We're doing a radio show. They need to be listening to us. Appreciate the phone call. Hope you have a good trip to see your pops. You can't be sitting in our audience to go listen to something else. I gave you the rundown. Shaq laughed. He said, Chuck, what'd you say? Them big women in San Antonio, Chuck.
I will say it does tickle me to watch Shaq just laugh hard. He was like banging on the desk, and I mean he just can't handle it whenever Chuck gets on a rant.
That's all he has to do is just laugh and ask Chuck to repeat himself.
Exactly.
Oh, God. It's a classic recipe. So Bob, what did Beyonce's mother, what has she said back?
I just think she got on social media and did you know how they do on
read the tweets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they read the tweets coming in from a commercial or going to a commercial. And it was something about, you know, don't sleep on Galveston, et cetera, you know, Mrs. Knowles. And so, you know, then they were, of course, Kenny and Shaq are giving Charles all sorts of grief, you know, about that. So that was it, basically. I mean, it's It was funny. It really was. I mean, it was vintage Charles for sure. But that was really it. I mean, it wasn't like anything highly controversial. It was just like a great, you know, great one for the Charles Barkley greatest hits. My favorite is still the one when he talked a few years back about getting a bracelet from a friend in a steam room. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
I mean, that one's the all-timer, man. It's like the creepiest thing I've ever heard, but it was like a guy he didn't even know.
If I was doing my Barkley's greatest hits, when he was on the teleprompter and they got him to read, "I'm a dumbass," that one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Whenever he's trying to promote, I believe it'd be the Hornets versus Suns, and he said, "I got two words for you, Chris Paul and Steve Nash." And they're like, "That's not two words, Chuck." "Nash and Paul." "No, that's still not two words, Chuck."
He did one last week that was, I'm surprised he's not getting paid by Manjaro. He was talking about, you know, he was calling Shaq a fat ass, and Shaq goes, "Well, you are too, except you're using that Manjaro or whatever." And so then Kenny looks at Charles. He goes, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Well, I'm using a drug for..."
"You got the diabetes medicine?"
Yeah. Kenny just like, too. Yeah, it was great, man. It was so funny.
"You got the beatus?" Sam, did you not tell Polis Joe we're talking Tennessee baseball here?
I did.
How did he make it through my gatekeeper over there?
We
even left him on hold for 10 minutes so he could see the conversation we're having. He said, "Hey, I want to talk about Charles Barkley." He called. I said, "Sam, ask what he wants to talk about." "Well, he wants to talk about Charles Barkley." I said, "Well, tell him we're about to talk about Tennessee baseball." "Oh, I'd love to talk about Tennessee baseball." "Well, where the hell was that at, Polis Joe?"
We let him there. He just didn't.
It's a Monday morning. Supposed to be our biggest local story coming out of it. We give him a kind of a nudge. Bob wants to get to him right at the beginning of the segment. I was like, "Well, we can't do that. Let's ease into it. Let's do our conversation. Then we'll get him there." We do that, and he just completely, I'll give us a story. And it's nice you're going on a trip to go see your pops. You know, that's good. Thank you for you know, listening. After your night of work, I appreciate it. But we wanted to talk Tennessee baseball there. And we even told you. And then led you there. But you know what they say, Sam? You can lead a caller to a topic, but you can't make them speak, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Age old quote.
Many people have said that throughout you know, the history of the world. I got another Tennessee baseball thoughts, though. I mean, I guess the Missouri series was pretty boring.
Yeah, it's just
they rocked some horrible uniforms on Saturday. Uh-huh.
Missouri's not a team that's fun to look at, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Every time we play Missouri in something, I just get annoyed. They shouldn't be in the SEC. All these years later, I still haven't embraced them. I don't want them here. They really bring nothing to the conference.
I think we should make a conference that just puts all the teams together that it's just gray wherever they're at. Like, I think Missouri and Kentucky are two places where the sun never shines. We need just a conference that's full of those kind of depressing states and colleges a little bit.
Well, who else is in the conference? Because so far you just got two teams. I don't know if that's enough for a full conference. Maybe we just start with a rivalry. We make that a rivalry, Kentucky versus Missouri.
That's the only SEC opponent they can play.
Okay.
I'll come up with some more great
Northwestern
great places. Yeah, that's a good one.
Feels like it's always gray
there.
Oh, so we're just
West Virginia. I don't think
so. We're just jumping conferences. It's not just SEC.
Yeah. No, it's poaching all of them.
Oh, then you know, half the Big Ten teams would fall into that category.
Yeah, we'll take like the bad Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
See, now I think you're just taking bad programs that are kind of boring and more so than weather, because I feel like it's sun.
The gray conference.
I would feel like the sun shines in West Virginia a lot. But their program feels like a great program, but the actual weather inside the city, maybe not. Maybe there's, you know, just smog coming out of the coal mines, maybe. I don't know exactly how close their campus are, you know, is to coal mines. I don't know.
I'll workshop it.
Now I just think you're talking about mid teams, because Kentucky and Missouri, mid, West Virginia, mid. Tennessee baseball heads down to Gainesville this weekend to take on Florida. As we look ahead early, it's a Thursday to Saturday series. 2 out of 3, the goal down there? Go down there and win the series?
Yeah, I think definitely the goal is to go down there and win the series. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be a desperate Florida team. They're fighting for their life kind of right now here, coming down the stretch, and they need all the wins that they can get. And so especially for them, you know, losing a series at home will definitely hurt. So I think that's going to be a Florida team that's playing desperate. You got to go down there and, you know, and give them your best shot and everything like that. But I definitely think a series win is what you're looking for.
You know, heading into the weekends or heading into last weekend, I saw where Florida is still projected in the fields, which seems crazy. They're only a couple games. They were only a couple games over 500. Now they're only one game over 500. 9-12 in conference. So, like, it seems like, yeah, their backs should be up against the wall. Would they get in the tournament if they finish the season just, like, four games over 500? Like, is that enough in the SEC to actually, like, still get in the field?
Probably. They'll probably get in as, like, one of the worst three or four seeds.
That seems
probably
crazy.
Three, but, like, just because those fours are normally those kind of like mid-major programs a little bit.
It's one of those teams that you'd be mad at if you're hosting the regional, though, yeah. And they show up. You're just like, yeah. Really? Because, I mean, they got top-end talent. They just haven't put it together.
They'll get a tough draw, though. I don't think the committee will be nice to them.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't remember how their draw was, but I know a couple years ago, like, wasn't Ole Miss the last team in the tournament the year they won it all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it feels to me like they shouldn't even be in, but I don't, you know, obviously know bracketology and seeding when it comes to the baseball tournament. I haven't seen any updated ones after the weekend, after they lost 2 out of 3, so maybe they have fallen on the wrong side. But point remains either way as we head to the final three series of the season. Florida firmly on the bubble, Tennessee chasing a championship. Hopefully that means Tennessee can go down there and take care of business. But you are playing a wounded animal. I'm glad that we're only one game back now. You know, it's nice to actually have a carrot to chase. Mm-hmm. Versus just like wins and seeding. Like, it is nice to actually be in the mix for a conference championship. That's something that I didn't really anticipate. Now you're getting ready to play back-to-back road series at Florida and at Vanderbilt. Both good programs, but I think both of those weekend series seem a lot less daunting than they did maybe a month ago. Especially in Vanderbilt's case. You know, Vanderbilt's not had a really good last month. Florida's been the same team all year. They've just been inconsistent.
Yeah. You never know what you're getting out of Florida.
But Vandy, like, it feels like a winnable series, one that you should go in there and expect to win.
Especially with the history that you've had recently with Vandy.
Right. Yeah. Any final Tennessee baseball thoughts, Bob?
Is this the last season? Are they doing away with divisions in all sports for SEC once Texas and Oklahoma come? I know, obviously.
Pretty sure.
So this is the last time they'll be playing in that kind of format for baseball, too. There's some nice separation now. They're going to be in the top four. And to your point, John, it's pretty amazing just in 2 weeks' time. I mean, Kentucky's had a little regression to the mean. They're, you know, maybe coming back down to earth a little bit. I like Tennessee's chance to get the conference here. I really do.
They have the numbers up on the wall in the outfield of Eastern Division championships. I know that's something that most baseball fans say don't actually matter. You don't really celebrate. But it does look like something that you can attain and maybe add a number out there to the wall if you want to. But the overall conference title, yeah, only one game back. I haven't looked at the schedules, you know, down the stretch. We can do that throughout the week as we get set and kind of see what Arkansas has. We know Kentucky's got it really tough. Florida's got it really tough. You got a four-game lead on Vanderbilt right now, so you got a little bit of house money there. Hopefully you still have a nice little comfortable lead. If you're able to take 2 out of 3 from Florida this weekend, you'll have a nice comfortable lead going into the Vandy series. I don't really know what Arkansas and A&M have, but we'll look at that next couple days. Some Tennessee news on the way out. Candace Parker. One of my top Vols. You know, on our 37 Club mailbag, we were asked to rank our top 5 Vols of all time. She made my list. I've always had a soft spot for her. Helped that she, you know, was a back-to-back champion. Helps that I've always had a little crush on her. But she's also just been such an ambassador for Tennessee. I think that she puts on for Tennessee only behind Peyton Manning in terms of our big-time Vols that rep the school. I think Candace, synonymous with the school, kind of the living embodiment of the Pat Summitt era. I think, you know, of course, Pat no longer with us, but when you see Candace Parker, you still kind of see her. She still kind of carries that legacy with her wherever she goes.
Yeah, I'd say most influential Lady Vol athlete ever, right? I mean, you could argue as far as performance, you know there's obviously been some other great Lady Vols. She's right up there with them, you know, Holtzclaw and Catchings and others. But as far as her influence beyond the court and what she's done for ladies basketball and then other things, she was very, very vocal and very active in the Title IX discussion as well. I mean, she definitely she's used her platform in such a positive way, and she's got such a great future ahead of her already. She's an elite broadcaster. Supposedly, is going to get into some other business interests. She's one of one, man. She's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you have to give her credit for just being the most influential, but also just the best Lady Vol athlete. I mean, when you look at the Olympic gold medals, the MVP in the WNBA, and I know the WNBA, we're not going to judge it the same as other professional leagues, but she won 3 championships there.
Yep.
This one got carried to this last year. I mean, she was out with injury, so if you don't want to count that one, that's fine. She 2 championships as a player, a 3rd one on the shelf, Rookie of the Year, MVP in the same year, 2-time national champion. Like I said, I think there was 2 gold medals there as well with the Olympics. And then the life after playing career is going to go pretty well too, I would imagine. Like, she's established now as an NBA voice, so like, I don't think she's going anywhere. They gave her, you know, speaking of Charles and Ernie and them, they gave her a really nice tribute of sorts. They didn't run like any special montage, but they just both, they all talked about how much they loved Candace and how great she was and how much they cared for her. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Ernie, Shaq, Charles, Kenny all had really good things to say about her.
She's a pro. I mean, I remember just during this NCAA tournament, she was identifying some stuff, previewing the Tennessee-Creighton game. Jay Wright's sitting to her left, and Jay just says, you know what, I didn't even think of that. That's a really great observation. You know, I mean, there you go, one of the greatest men's college coaches out there, you know, just showing his respect for her knowledge of the game and her ability to convey it on TV, too. She's just amazing. Total pro.
And she loves her Vols. And she tells everybody she loves her Vols pretty much every chance she gets. You know, I think Peyton, her, the new generation, I think both Grant and Josh Dobbs, you know, doing their part. But no disrespect to those guys. It's a little bit different when you have people like in GOAT conversation doing it. It's nice that Dobbs and Grant put on for the Vols, but it always kind of hit different when it was Peyton. You know, MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, one of the greatest of all time doing it, and of course Candace carrying that same mantle. Happy retirement to a legend.
Yes.
Sam, send us to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Citizens National Bank.
We make it easy to save money.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Oh, I enjoyed me some White Claw this weekend. Did you guys do anything fun this weekend?
I had, we had visitors in town for part of the weekend, and it was good to see them. You know, that's usually kind of a different kind of vibe because they were staying with us and, you know, you're trying to keep your house on point, trying to keep your dog from not bugging them too much, you know, all that stuff. But it was good to see them, and we just went and hung out. Had dinner and drinks on Saturday night and then just hung out at our place. It was kind of low key, but it was nice. Had a few adult beverages myself.
Hopefully some nice, refreshing White Claw hard seltzer or some of the White Claw premium vodka. If it wasn't that, don't tell me specifically what it was. Bob, I went to go see the sexy tennis movie with Zendaya. Mm.
What is that?
Challengers?
Yeah.
It was good. Great sports movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the movie is built around a game, a big game at the end, but there's a lot of, you know, relationship dynamic stuff there too. But it was pretty, it's a sexy movie. Shout out to Zendaya. But I enjoyed it. She is a movie star. She has a movie star. I'll give her that.
She made a bunch of money on that one, I think. I've read it was.
I would say she did, yeah. I mean, she carries it, and she is, you know, one of the main producers of it, so I'd say she did get a good chunk of it.
Yeah, big payday.
She is the driver of that vehicle for sure. So I didn't pay attention much to the NFL draft this weekend. I was too busy gnawing my arm off thinking about Zendaya, but I did see we had two Vols get their name called in the draft. Jalen Wright ends up in Miami as they continue just to find every fast player that they can get the ball to. I thought that was a cool video that came out of Mike McDaniel talking to Jalen Wright, and Jalen Wright breaking down on the phone crying. I like those. Those always touch me.
Three Vols, actually.
Three Vols?
Kamal Haddon got
that's late, right.
Late,
excuse,
late in the seventh.
Apologies to Kamal Haddon. I did see that. He ends up in Kansas City, right? The Chiefs? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
Where were you at? And I was just going to the bathroom, Sam, when I said, two guys, right? You're like, uh-huh. And you come back and well-actually me on the air.
I don't think I said that, did I?
Well, I said it. I was like, just the two got drafted, right? And I don't know if there was a uh-huh or a confirmation, but there definitely wasn't a three, actually. You waited until I got on the microphone to do that. I appreciate it. But yes, Kamal Haddon to Kansas City, and Joe Milton to New England with Jerod Mayo.
Only six spots away from the place where Brady got picked.
Streets are talking.
Patriots should have traded back. Said, hey, whoever's picking, was it pick? Was it 212? What is Brady's number? Was it 212?
I think it
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what number Brady's number is. Either way, trade back to whoever had it.
Yeah.
Because history is going to repeat itself.
Milton's already shut down the rumors that he would consider being a tight end. He's like, I don't want to do it. I'm a quarterback.
I hear you. And, you know, have confidence in yourself and all that. But I imagine if it comes to, like, hey, you're out of the league, or hey, you're going to try a tight end, that your tune changes there. It's nice that he's saying, hey, no, I'm a quarterback. Because, like, hey, they famously asked Lamar Jackson to come work out at wide receiver.
Was a little weird. Like, I happened to just have it on my TV, and Reese Davis, he got picked, and Reese Davis was like, yeah, I mean, the guy's got so much potential. And he's like, but, you know, I mean, a couple years from now, if quarterback doesn't work, he can just move on to tight end if they want. It just seemed like such a shot to the bow at him a little bit there as he's getting drafted. Just, yeah, if he doesn't work out, though, he's a tight end.
Well, you know, they did it to Tebow.
Yeah.
They did it to Tebow. They did it to Logan Thomas. But at least we have, you know, kind of a cross-racial comparison. They did it to Tebow, too. And he was as white as it got and, you know, was celebrated as a quarterback at times. And, you know, they still asked him to do it. So it's just something that happens when you're not a very accurate but a athletic quarterback. It plays into the formula. It plays into the hypotheticals, which, you know, there's some job security there.
Logan Thomas has been a pretty serviceable tight end.
He's had a much better career at tight end than he would have as a quarterback.
No doubt.
Jerod Mayo said, hey, you know, that's something maybe we consider down the line, but we drafted him as a quarterback, is what the Patriots are saying. Which, I think that's nice, too. Not to be like, yeah, we don't really think he's got it at this level. Yeah, we drafted him because we think he's nice and big and can maybe catch some passes. He catches a lot of the snaps, right? So his hands are used to catching the ball. So, yeah, he can easily transition to tight end. They didn't go that route. They said, hey, no, we drafted him as a quarterback. That's what we see him as.
Speaking of – the Redskins, this is kind of getting off the path, but it's about quarterbacks, I think. Wasn't Luke McCaffrey a quarterback first?
I don't think so.
I thought there was a McCaffrey that played quarterback for a while.
There might be another brother.
There is a brother that played quarterback at Nebraska.
Yeah, you're thinking of
I don't know if it's
Dylan
Luke or
McCaffrey.
Not.
Which one?
Dylan McCaffrey,
Dylan,
I think.
Okay. Because Luke McCaffrey got super high marks. He got drafted by the Redskins, and he's a receiver.
Bob.
Yes,
we don't say the R word anymore.
Oh, the Commanders. My bad. Yeah,
you're two names away. You're dead naming them two iterations ago. You're not only are you saying that word we don't say anymore, you're also just completely passing over the Washington football team era.
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's tough to get that one out of my head. But
that damn McCaffrey brother came in against Colorado this year, right? I want to say, did he play at Nebraska? Did he play quarterback at Nebraska this year?
Oh, the quarterback?
Oh, no, that was a couple years ago.
He was at Michigan for a little bit.
Right.
Okay. And then he transferred to Northern Colorado. You haven't seen him since then.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind. I was thinking of a different guy that came in to replace Nebraska's terrible quarterback against Colorado earlier this year. It wasn't a McCaffrey. Disregard.
That McCaffrey family is making some money, though, now.
Are they any, are they related at all to Fran and his son? Are they, like, distant relatives at all?
I don't know for sure, but I don't believe so. I wouldn't guarantee it, though.
Because Fran's son, he's got the golden goose right now. He's with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
So he might be, you know, the second most successful young McCaffrey outside of Christian.
Front office job with the Pacers, too.
Yep. Is it a front office job? I know he had a job with the Pacers. Yeah. I didn't know if it was front office or some type of assistant basketball ops guy. I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah.
So we had three guys drafted. Apologies to Kamal Haddon. My bad. Thanks a lot for that, Sam. Appreciate you. What about any of our undrafted guys? I saw Jabari Small was linked to the Titans. Did that get to the finish line?
Yes. And then Judy Lally went to the Titans.
Okay.
I think Aaron Beasley and D. Williams went to Seattle. Jacob Warren went to New England.
Shout out to Rob Mayo bringing in two
Tennessee
tight ends.
Trying to think of some more here.
McCullough to the Rams.
McCullough to the Rams, yeah.
Jeremiah Crawford to the Panthers. Keaton to the Raiders.
Yeah,
you mentioned Jacob Warren. McCallan Castles to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I think he might stick there in Philly, honestly. I think McCallan Castles is a guy that you'll end up seeing on an NFL roster one day and being like, I completely forgot about his one season in Tennessee. If he had a year with Nico, he'd have been special.
I thought he showed some flashes. You know, I thought he was a pretty good athlete, and I thought he was underutilized this year.
Did you see Sam Hartman's free agent deal with the Redskins?
Yeah, they gave him like the
– Bob.
Oh, God, the Commanders.
Come on.
I've done it twice. All right.
It was like the most guaranteed money out of any undrafted
free agent.
Apologies
to all the Native American community that Bob is maybe offending here. I'm sorry.
Not post hour one.
Yeah.
My phone is ringing. It's my attorney.
You might need to put a trigger warning at the beginning of that, Sam.
Yeah, that's my apologies. I can't help it, man. Grew up with those guys. Hartman got like $250,000 guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
As a free agent signing. It's not a bad gig.
One that was also, like, yeah, not highly sought after, right? I mean, like, he was it's not like he was a guy that, like, people graded as a potential third or fourth rounder that just fell. He wasn't that. Like, we talked about the quarterback rankings. I mean, he was down in the low teens, I thought, as the quarterback prospect. And good for him. Good for him. You know, maybe that means, like, he's a practice squatter for them at least and that they have him around. I don't know.
He's got that amazing hair. Might be his marketability. They might see the opportunity there.
It's not even like they're in Notre Dame country, really. I mean, no Wake Forest ties there either, really. It's weird that they've honed in on him, but congrats to him.
That's a great deal. I mean, that wouldn't be bad. And I mean, if you imagine if they're giving him that much guaranteed, they're gonna plan to keep him around.
You would think so.
Probably that third quarterback.
Yep. Not bad. But, yeah, so the Vols, they were represented well if some of these guys can catch on with these other teams. But I was a little surprised Wright slipped to the fourth round.
Yeah, you know, I thought – how many running backs ended up getting drafted ahead of him? At least four, right?
Yeah, Corum, Lloyd, Brooks, and I think there was another one.
I thought I saw four. You know, I thought Wright had a chance to be in that mix. Mel Kiper kept saying he was the best running back in the draft. I thought maybe he had a chance to go a little bit higher. I don't know if I love the fit in Miami. Just because I feel like, you know, if Achan's healthy and Is Mostert still around? I mean, he's still got a
year. He's old. He'll be out of there soon.
That's the thing. I think he's one injury to those guys, which is likely away from getting a lot of run.
I think it's a good spot.
I do, too.
Okay. I just think there's two guys ahead of him that are going to stay ahead of him.
Yeah, he's definitely third on the depth chart right now, but I think Mostert's out of there soon. And, I mean, A-Chain can't stay healthy for more than probably five games at a time his whole career.
Okay.
Even at A&M, he couldn't stay on the field.
Just felt like, you know, if someone like Dallas, for example, had drafted him, he could have been the day one starter, you know, as a rookie running back. I thought, you know, even someone like the Chiefs had been linked to him, he'd be clear-cut number two.
A buddy of mine's a huge Packers fan and is a total student of the draft, and he was texting me before they took Marshawn Lloyd saying, man, I think they're looking for a running back, and I want Jalen Wright. He's good, correct? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, he can fly, and, you know, the Packers would have been a good landing spot for him too.
Yeah, I mean, add them to the list. I thought there was a handful of teams that could have had him as, you know, first or second on the depth chart from day one. So I was just a little disappointed that he ends up somewhere where he's probably going to be third. Now, who knows? Maybe Mostert gets cut. Maybe one of them gets hurt. Mike McDaniel is going to know how to maximize his speed. I thought it was a disappointing showing for Tennessee in the draft. Just not like anybody like really slipped or fell, but just that it was a while before you got somebody drafted. You know, and when you look at compared to the rest of the SEC, you were pretty light there, but next year, you should be back to where you are a factor. I see that USA Today has James Pierce Jr. number 3 overall right now. So you shouldn't have to wait very long next year to have some Tennessee guys called.
Yeah, some mocked him as the number 1 pick. Yeah, and I think the SEC, it's amazing. It's like the 16th or 18th year in a row that they've had the most guys drafted in the NFL draft. I mean, that's pretty amazing. It's like the SEC is the G League for the NFL, basically.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with some stories you missed from the weekend. Stick with us.
Are you in need of a smile makeover?